Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Is it a vet resting? Yes. No. Those guys have been here all year. Not here today. It's not mandatory, so no big deal. They look fine. We didn't miss a beat. You know, that's what you want from your backup players. Someone's not here today, they step in and play, and we don't miss a beat. So I was very impressed with those three guys, you know, including Isaiah McKenzie, who played slot today.
Vance Joseph, no big deal. Nothing to see here. Hey, it's not like we're taking roll call. Don't forget, these things are voluntary. But still, kind of a surprise, Mark, that show up at OTA yesterday, no Von Miller, no Demaryius Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders. Is it a big deal?
Sure. Of course it is.
Why
would it not be a big deal? Did anybody see the video? It's about a 2 minutes and 50 second video of J.R. Smith making the gaffe in game one. And then LeBron James looking at him like, what are you doing? And then turning his back on him and just walking away. And then they go to the bench and sit there for 2.5 minutes and not one person talks to J.R. Smith. And you've got the best basketball player in the world that's over there in the corner or sitting on his chair moping. And, I mean, it was, you watch that video and you're like, no wonder. You know, no wonder they got blown out in the overtime period. No wonder they didn't show up in game two. Your leader, your quote-unquote leader, can't rally his troops. All I know is Rod Smith is one of the greatest players in Broncos history. Guy never missed an offseason workout, never missed anything, not one time. Is it the end of the world? No, it's not the end of the world, but what did they say this offseason? We need to reestablish our culture. Like your lack of leadership last year, you know? I don't know, Von Miller, he's the best player on this defense. Like, I know that these OTAs are not that big a deal. I know there's not a lot going on. I know that they're not quote-unquote taking role, but they're taking role. You know what every guy knows? Every guy, management, coaches, players, that Von Miller and Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders chose not to show up. I don't know why. I don't know what the story is. You know, I don't. Maybe they had an Instagram video to shoot. You know, maybe they had something, you know, really important that they had to do. But they chose not to show up. The guys that are quote-unquote, you know, your best players should be your best leaders, should be leading the way, and for whatever reason, and I don't know what the reasons are, and is it a huge deal? No, it's not a huge deal, but when you're trying to reestablish your culture, what does that say about your team leaders? Is, yeah, you know what, if we've got something important to do, we're going to do it. I just, like me personally, I don't agree with it.
Okay, all right, well, let's keep this in, as we discuss this, let's add this to the conversation and then we'll revisit this. Bill Polian, who you have the utmost respect for, the general from your days at ESPN, Hall of Fame executive, Hall of Fame general manager, and he was one of the proponents of creating the OTA and the idea of the OTAs. And he was recently on a football podcast. I think the Patriots were doing it. It was some Patriot podcast. Anyway, because they had him on to talk about, you know, Brady not going to the OTAs and Gronk and anything. Anyway, here's what he had to say. He had about a minute and a half answer on this whole OTA and how important are they.
I was part of the group that negotiated the original collective bargaining agreement. And when we talked about OTAs, they were originally designed to make sure that you could inculcate and orient the new players who were coming in by a free agency to your team. They were never intended by Gene Upshaw and the union people to be essentially collegiate spring practices without hitting. That evolved over time, as most things do in life. And so now we get the perspective that, well, gee, so-and-so isn't there, so it's the end of the world, he's not a good teammate, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is that OTAs in their original version were never intended for the veterans. They get enough football. It was intended to try and help develop the young players, and it's veered away from that over time. So having known what the original intent was, I'm not at all bothered by anybody who misses it. The word voluntary is the operative word. They're doing what they're allowed to do and within their rights, totally within their rights with respect to the CBA, whatever their motivation might be.
Your reaction to that?
Yeah, they're obviously in their rights. Do I think Von Miller's going to learn a lot during OTAs? No, absolutely not. Do I think Tom Brady? You know, there's a reason that Tom Brady has been to every OTA completely voluntary forever, and now he's choosing not to go. He's older. He's got other things going on, and you know, he's got a little bit of a rift with his head coach. But again, I'm old, and I'm old school, and I believe that if there's an opportunity to hang with your teammates and do those things, you should be there. That's all. I mean, you know, I know a lot of guys. I was talking to Tony Gonzalez about this. I skip those things all the time. Yeah, how many championships you got? None? Okay. And you can sit there and say, well, it doesn't matter. And I was, you know, I'm a Hall of Famer, and I've been a, you know, multiple, you know, 17-time Pro Bowl, whatever. I get it. I understand it. But there's something about being together. There's something about relying on one another. There's something about, as Joe Gibbs used to say, lose yourself. It's not about you. It's about us. There's something about being sold out for your team. Sacrifice for your team, even though it doesn't matter. And it starts now. This is the new season. And so you can say it doesn't matter, and it probably, in the overall scheme of things, it doesn't. But you can't tell me people don't notice. You can't tell me that that's not a separate set. Your leaders have a separate set of rules. No big deal. We're not keeping score. Yeah, you are. You are keeping score because you know it and everybody else knows it. And so anyhow, does it really matter in the overall scheme of things? Probably not. But it does. You know, it's like that. It's like I said with T.J. Ward when they cut T.J. Ward because they wanted Justin Smith or Justin Simmons, you know, so athletic, and T.J. Ward had the hammy and everything else. And what I tell you, it's not going to matter until it matters. Till that kid gets beat in coverage, till they have some bad defensive plays, and all of a sudden you've lost your team captain. And then what happened in about week 6? Everybody, their brother's uncle, was saying how much they missed T.J. Ward, didn't they? I happen to be right about that, too.
Coming up on Thursday, it's going to be the Corona Fan Dream Jobs final audition. We're going to be at the sports column in Lodo.
Who's hosting
starting
that?
At 6 o'clock. That'd be me. I'll be there.
The sports column starting at 6.
At 6.
Child, please.
Right downtown, right by Coors Field. Can't wait. And looking forward to meeting a lot of you, seeing some of you again, as I did a couple weeks ago. So we'll give you the chance. Give us your best 3-minute rant on whatever topic you'd like to talk about. Your final opportunity to potentially join the fan as a talk show host. For more information, go to 1043thefan.com. Isaiah McKenzie, can he put last year behind him? Are you, as a Broncos fan, prepared to forgive and forget? That's coming up next. One of the, I guess, fringe benefits, Mark, of not having Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas there, as much as you are down on the idea, you're not a fan of it, and you do think that these veterans need to be at these OTAs to set an example, it did give the young wide receivers a chance to get a lot of work. Saw a lot of Deshaun Hamilton, saw a lot of Cortland Sutton, even saw a little bit of Isaiah McKenzie. More on him in a second. But when it comes to these young wide receivers getting a chance, how realistic is it that one of these young wide receivers, and is it the guy that plays in the slot or is it the guy that plays outside that has the best chance to make more of an immediate impact?
Well, I think it's I think from a realistic standpoint, it's incredibly realistic that one of these guys is going to be, I know not necessarily a feature receiver, but is going to be a prominent figure. Because let's face it, we look at this receiving core and go back to Gary Kubiak's first year when he said, hey, I've never been around a more talented receiving core. And we still couldn't find a third wide receiver that could consistently lock down a spot. And in a day and age where most everything is run out of three wide sets, single back sets, somebody's going to have a prominent role. One of these young receivers is going to have a prominent role. And if he doesn't, then we're in trouble again offensively. I mean, you think about this football team. We have been trying since 2015, since Kubiak got here, trying to find a third receiver to eat up the middle of the field. We've been trying to find a tight end that's worth his salt in a matchup situation. So one of these guys is going to get that opportunity. Can he hold on to it, and can it be successful? Because it has been, I mean, it's been the you know, revolving door at the supermarket. Or wherever you go through a revolving door. And a supermarket, probably not such a good idea.
Hotels, like, fine hotels.
Fine hotels.
Boom. Revolving doors.
Right. And they've been having different doormen just rolling through there, one after the other, in the five-star. But the foyer is beautiful at the hotel. Places I stay, marble.
Yeah.
Are you
five-star Schlereth.
Mr. Schlereth, can I help you with your bags? No, I've got this.
Mark Schlereth, handsome son of a bitch, get out of here.
But yeah, you know what I'm saying. So yeah, so one of these guys is going to, I hope one of these guys develops a very prominent role, but it's there for the taking if somebody would just, you know, take it.
We talk about Hamilton. We talk about Sutton. Should we be talking about Isaiah McKenzie, who got a chance to work out of the slot yesterday and afterwards was on with Stokely and Zach and talked about putting last year's really tough rookie season behind him?
Not one bit. You know, I kind of, you know, not trying to, you know, listen to the outside noise. You know, I'm going to hear it here and there, and I got social media, so I'm going to see it. But, you know, I try, you know, not to listen to it. I come out here every day, and I do my job. And, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come do my job for the team and for these coaches. But, you know, other than that, I got to put it behind me, and I got to keep rolling.
McKenzie saying expect to see a new and improved Isaiah McKenzie this year.
Oh, a new and improved, you know, and no, you know, nothing less. You know, I come here to do my job. I come here to be the punt returner, and I come here to be a slot receiver, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come here and play my best football and show them that I can do my job the best way I can, and I can help this team win games.
Look, it was a rough rookie season, and for a disgruntled Bronco fan base and maybe even disgruntled players in that room, McKenzie was a real easy target. Do you honestly think he sounds confident?
Mm-hmm.
He's certainly saying all the right things. Do you believe he can rebound from what happened last year? And I guess the follow-up to that, and I'll toss it out to you and I'll toss it out to everybody listening, is Broncos country prepared to forgive and forget and give this guy a fresh start?
He makes plays? If he makes plays, you know, if he makes plays, Broncos country will be gruntled. Forget about disgruntled. They'll be gruntled, right? They're going to be happy as clams. If he just can make some plays. And I understand, like, I believe that he believes that he can be that guy, that he can be the punt returner, that he can be the slot receiver, that he can be productive and all those things. And that's great. And he should believe that. You got to have that confidence. You got to have that swagger. And when you do get your butt whipped, everybody does, you got to pick yourself up and you got to keep on fighting. And that's what separates the guys who live for a long time in this league and the guys who don't. Put the ball on the ground one time. Put it on one time. And see how your teammates react. See how your coaching staff reacts. See how this community reacts. More importantly, how do you react?
You blew it!
But here's the point is this, though, Mike. After last season, you put the ball on the ground, and I just don't believe you're going to get another opportunity. So, you know, you've got that in the back of your mind. And if you're sitting there going, it's like, you know, when you're coaching your little league team and you're like, don't walk anybody, don't walk anybody, don't walk anybody, don't walk. What's the first thing they do? They go out there and walk somebody. Like, if you have that thought, that negative process in your head that says, hey, I can't put it on the ground, I can't put it on the ground, I can't, you're going to put it on the ground. You got to go out there and play carefree and all those things, but, you know, ball security, he needs to have the ball security. As our good friend Brock Osweiler likes to say, ball security is job security.
Ball security is job security.
There you go.
Thank you, Brock.
That's why Brock is playing in Miami.
Every once in a while, I forget about that, and you're there to remind me.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it was like, it's almost freaky. It was like you were there last night, my pitchers. Ooh, we got squeezed.
Did you?
And listen, quick little, I appreciate every young man, teenager, whatever, that umpires, I know it's not easy.
Uh-huh.
But man, oh man, when you're behind the dish.
Right.
And you got 11-year-olds playing, expand the strike zone a little bit. Man, this guy, you would have thought Maddox was working last night on the mound for Green Mountain Wheat Ridge.
So I take it you guys lost last night.
Yeah, we lost. Good game. Good game. Hard-fought game with the Farmers of Wheat Ridge. Good 10-8 game.
Yeah.
It was well played. Fought out. But terrible, terrible. All right.
Throw strikes. You know what I always tell my son?
I almost got tossed. You know I didn't get tossed, but I was like, come on, Blue!
You know what I always tell
Call
Daniel?
Call it both ways!
Because I'm always giving him pitching advice, and he just
rolls his
eyes.
He loves that.
He rolls his eyes. So now what I tell him all the time about pitching, hey, listen, stay low.
Stay low.
Keep your knees bent. It's our inside joke.
Inside joke. By the way, good snark on the RummelsLaw.com text line. Hey, good thing about Isaiah McKenzie is he can't have a sophomore slump this year because he can't slump further than last year. Okay, good 6 a.m. That must be an 8 a.m. text or up early.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Coming up, we've got the Morning Brew and how the Washington Capitals bid to win a Stanley Cup actually is connected in a way to Mark Schlereth.
I cannot wait.
We'll
to
tell
hear
you
this.
How next.
The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on!
Well, Shane's got a sore wrist. Okay, so Shane is here. He's got a sore wrist, so he didn't work today.
Good reason.
But not a big deal for the guys who weren't here. Vaughn, I think Vaughn missed today. I think DT had a personal matter. Any manager had personal matters, so it's their time. We can't take roll. I'm not concerned about it. They've been here all year. We're good. You know, we coach the guys who were here today.
Okay, so Vance Joseph knew that question was coming. An emphatic answer. Nothing to see here. No big deal. Trying to cut off any hint of controversy before it started to build.
He actually,
based on what I'm hearing from you this morning, you're not buying it.
He actually went a little Belichickian.
Yes, he did.
Didn't
right there
he?
At the end.
We're going to coach the guys that are here. Not talking about the guys who aren't here. I'm talking about the guys who are here trying to get better.
We're good. No, we coach the guys who are here today.
That was a little Belichickian.
Good on you. Good on you. Yeah, I mean,
throwing in absolutely every once in a while.
Sure.
And we're on the way.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. On the way. And again, it's not a, I guess it's, in the overall scheme of things, from a football perspective, is it a big deal? No, it's not a big deal. Who cares? From a team building and chemistry, and we need to change the culture of this organization, we need to have some better leadership, is it a big deal? You're damn right it is. Of course it is. Now, I don't know what the personal issue for DT was, or Emmanuel. I don't know what his personal issue is. You know, based on the past reports, you know, you always kind of raise an eyebrow. But, again, I'm not trying to judge the guys. I'm not anything. Everybody's got issues, right? Everybody's got personal issues. Everybody got things that come up. There's not one guy that doesn't. You know, there's a bunch of guys over there at training camp that had some personal issues going on. Something going on in the family. Somebody's sick. Something happened. Whatever. You know?
But
they chose to be there.
You do realize they are voluntary. There's a reason why teams say that next week's camp, for example, is mandatory minicamp.
Right.
Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady missed OTAs, but they'll be at mandatory minicamp. So that implies that the OTAs are voluntary.
They are. They 100% they are. So you can do what you want.
So they're voluntary until you actually volunteer not to show up, and now they're not so voluntary?
No, they're always voluntary. They've always been voluntary. You know? So you can choose to do whatever you want to do. They're kind of voluntary mandatory, though.
Uh-huh. There you go. Next on the Morning Brew.
Oh, a new and improved, you know, nothing less. You know, I come here to do my job. I come here to be the punt returner, and I come here to be a slot receiver, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come here and play my best football and show them that I can do my job the best way I can, and I can help this team win games.
Look, we think of Isaiah McKenzie strictly through the lens as a punt returner and not a very good one at that. But what about the idea that a new and improved Isaiah McKenzie could maybe, perhaps, be the answer that the Broncos have been looking for in the slot?
Hey, who knows? Maybe. I mean, they obviously really liked him. He must be a dynamic athlete. They thought that they could, you know, they thought that they could putting him in the game was going to give them, you know, some juice, some excitement, whatever. So he certainly got more opportunities than any other rookie would have gotten based upon his production. So they must like him. And if he can rectify those things and hold on to the football and be a productive guy in the slot, that would be phenomenal.
You never really should draft a guy strictly for special teams. It should be with it. That should be, and he can also return punts.
Right.
And he's also a good special teams player. But you've got to, if you're drafting somebody, it's got to be with the primary position still in mind, right?
What if you're drafting the king?
Well, that's a good point. Because as he said, punters are players too.
Right. Yeah, we're just as important as any other player. So if you're just drafting the king, then you're
drafted. Where else are you going to use him then?
Where could the king play other than punt?
Well, what do you think? Maybe he's your long-term answer at the slot. I don't know. He's the king.
Maybe
he's
the king. Punt and return punts.
King is here.
I don't know. We'll see.
King is here. Next on the Morning Brew.
And his ball's lifted high and deep left field. Way back. Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Rockies weren't down long, were they?
AT&T Sportsnet is the Rockies off yesterday. Open up a quick 3-game road series in Cincinnati against a Reds team that they recently took 2 out of 3 from here. Is a quick road trip exactly what the Rockies need after getting swept at home by the Dodgers?
Yeah, maybe get out, maybe get away from the pressure of playing at home. You know, I think there is some relief to going on the road because they haven't figured it out at home. They haven't pitched well. They haven't hit well. They haven't done anything well at home so far. I know they're above 5. They're 16-11 at home. But it just feels like you're letting yourself down at home. So maybe just getting on the road and kind of, you know, hunkering down together and getting your stuff together before they come back to face Arizona here at the end of the week. Arizona dropped a game last night to the Giants. That thing is cluttered at the top. But, you know, going on the road, they've played well on the road. I think they have some confidence on the road. I think that's a good thing.
And you got a guy on the mound who might be the perfect recipe for this failing bullpen of late, which needs a break. Kyle Freeland's on the mound. In 6 of his last 7 starts, he's pitched either 7 full or into the 7th inning.
Yeah.
So see if he can give them some length tonight on the road in Cincinnati.
They certainly need it.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Into the right circle, backs from there. Connolly can't get it away. He'll dart to the middle and score. Game, set, match, Washington. Connolly finishing it off. It's 6-2.
Capitals radio as the Washington Capitals now with a commanding 3-1 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals. And teams that have gone up 3-1 in the Stanley Cup Final have won the series 31 straight times. However, the Capitals are only 7-5 in series in which they build a 3-1 lead. All that's a little bit of facts for you, but here's the real story. Here's what Washington's trying to do. They are trying to become the first team from the district to win a world championship since the 1991 Redskins led by Mark Schlereth. I told you there was a tie. There's always a Mark Schlereth tie.
There, you know what? 6 degrees of separation.
6 degrees of stink is what we play.
Yeah, 6 degrees of stink. That would be phenomenal. I'm excited about Ovechkin's been such a great player for a long time. He's kind of, you know, they have been playoffs, disappointment in the playoffs over and over and over again. They're kind of like Elway early in his career.
Yeah.
You know, Elway going to the playoffs, Elway going to NFC or AFC championships, Elway going to the Super Bowl, and that team just not being good enough. And Ovechkin has always kind of shouldered the load of not being able to carry his team. Kanetsov has been great. He's got 31 points in the playoffs. I think it's tied for second overall all time in the playoffs. So they've got a good thing going right now. And me being a DC guy where I got my career started, and I like Ovechkin and I like the history there, and I like the fact that they're kind of overcoming some of these demons. I'm kind of rooting for the old guys.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Coming up next. No, don't do this often, but I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
What?
Why you're wrong with this hardline stance you're taking about Vaughn, Emmanuel, and DT not being at OTA yesterday. Tell you why you're wrong.
Okay.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Well, Shane's got a sore wrist. Okay, so Shane is here. He's got a sore wrist, so he didn't work today. But not a big deal for the guys who weren't here. Vaughn missed today. I think DT had a personal matter. Any man had personal matters, so it's their time. We can't take roll. I'm not concerned about it. They've been here all year. We're good. You know, we coached the guys who were here today.
All right, so Vance Joseph, I think, trying to quell any kind of controversy, but too late. I mean, you already have taken a hardline stance on not acceptable in your mind that Von Miller, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, three of your leaders, weren't there yesterday. Look. Watching what was going on yesterday, I was there yesterday watching it. The veterans get nothing out of this. I was watching the defensive linemen and a pretty veteran group. And they were putting the work in, but they weren't going full speed. You know, they were just getting their work in, okay?
Correct.
They weren't really getting anything out of it. The rookies, by the way, or the younger players... And this is a team that has to desperately be better at developing their younger talent. These guys were out there, and they were working. They were grinding. Mm-hmm. And for these young players, especially the rookies, they're swimming right now. They're just trying to catch up. They're trying to figure things out. They're trying to learn. Do you think they're even aware that Vaughn wasn't there? Or Emmanuel wasn't there, or DT wasn't there. They're so caught up in trying to figure their own things out that they don't have the time to be thinking about who's not there. They're trying to figure things out. They're trying to make their mark in this league. The idea that these guys somehow need a Von Miller or a DT or an Emmanuel Sanders to show them how to work hard, as these guys are trying to get a foothold in the NFL, if you've got a bunch of guys who need Von Miller's presence there to get them to work hard, then you drafted and you got the wrong kind of guys.
It's not about having Von Miller there to show them how to work hard. They're going to have to be self-motivated. They're going to have to work hard. But the example of Von Miller working hard, when he doesn't need to be there, does that lend itself to leadership? The example of Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders or the eyes, if they're watching their guys that are backups and you say, hey, man, you really rounded off that route. Man, you need to stick your foot in the ground and come back. Does that carry weight? Let me just tell you, and I know it's completely different, Mike. I know when we first came out or we came out, it was no pads, full contact. You know, that's how we did it. But we did this deal when I was in Washington. I got drafted, and then they sequestered me in D.C. from April till like the middle of June. End of April through the middle of June. And we were stuck in the hotel. And after the mini camp, which was mandatory, by the way, watching Joe Jacoby, watching Russ Grimm, watching Jeff Bostic do one-on-ones, I was like, ooh. Like, all right, that's what the NFL is? Like, I got to pick up my game. Watching them prepare, watching them not make mental mistakes, watching them understand, I got to go. But not only that, we went out to these little pseudo OTAs before OTAs were even a thing. We did it in Washington. 4 days a week, lift and on the field. All those veteran guys, Russ Grimm, Joe Jacoby, all those guys have been multiple Pro Bowls. You know who showed up every day? Russ Grimm, Joe Jacoby, Jeff Bostic. And you know what we did? We worked. And then you know what we did afterwards? Played cards, goofed around, hung out, got to know one another, had a few beverages. Like that was a daily occurrence. And it was a cool thing to be a part of. And you got acceptance through the way you worked and the way you prepared. You got to know each other, and you started to rely on one another. That's why these things aren't important from a football perspective. You think that this OTA is going to make Von Miller a better football player? No.
I'm DFW.
It's not. But there is a leadership aspect to this.
Yeah, but it's a league that continues to preach hypocrisy. Like, look, we need you to be invested. We need you to be here. We need you to lead. We need to show your commitment. Mm-hmm. Oops, we're going to need you to restructure your contract.
Sure.
We need you to lead. We need you to be here. We need you to show our young players the way. Oops, we just drafted Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton to eventually replace you, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. But damn it, you better be here show us the way.
Yeah, but again.
I mean, you don't, but can you understand from a, I mean, you as anybody should understand. I mean, I wasn't a former player. You were, but I would, if I was a former player, you know, part of me is if I'm Emmanuel Sanders or Demaryius Thomas today and I'm maybe hearing some of this blowback, I'm like, wait a minute, yeah. Wait a minute. You just drafted two guys with the express purpose of replacing us and now we're indispensable. We have to be there in early June?
How many times
for
have I heard?
That's voluntary?
How many times have I heard, you're a warrior. You're great. What a team leader. You play injured. You play hurt. Oh, by the way, it's the offseason. You're going to have to take this pay cut. How many times have I seen that or heard that? It's not about them. Vance Joseph isn't going to make one tackle. Neither is anybody else on that staff. You're going to throw one block. This is not their team. Mr. Bolin, God bless him. You know, and the Bolin family, God bless them. They're not going to go out there and make one play until you accept the reality that this is your team. And we can sit there. John Elway ain't going to make a play. He's not going to make a throw. He's going to have as much effect from a player's perspective as I will. It's not their team. It's your team. It's the player's team. And until you embrace that and understand that, the culture won't change. You have these OTAs structured the way these OTAs are structured because you don't have the balls to negotiate as players. I'm guilty. I didn't have them either. So you accept these concessions. Here, we'll throw less practice time. No pads. There you go. Meanwhile, we'll still take the lion's share of the money and we'll discard you and we won't give you guaranteed contracts and we don't care about your health insurance because you don't have it when you're done. We don't care about any of that stuff because you don't have the balls to do it. That's the bottom line. And you know what? I don't care. It's still your team. And until you embrace that fact as a player, guess what? You won't win. You won't win the prize.
So the best teams are the ones that accept the fact we are replaceable, we are cattle,
and we play hard for one another.
And we don't care. We still invest. We still sell out. We still sacrifice.
But we're not. It's not so much I'm not so much invested in them. I'm invested in us. Because it's the guys who's crossed the line, the guys who lay it out there, you know, the Ryan Shaziers of the world that break their necks. Like, those are the guys you play for. You're not playing for the management.
Why do I have a feeling you're going to maybe continue along this vein with Clear the Air?
I think we should.
Okay.
Why not?
All right, Clear the Air coming up next.